audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
The story.
I got a call from an Indigenous man of God from the city, works in the city. He told me about opportunities for Indigenous businesses to work with the government. I pitched, you know, four investors. And eventually the investor I chose said the words, "I feel there's a shift with Aboriginal people and I want to be a part of it." And that was God saying, "This is the man that you will journey with, and that's my business partner."
G'day, I'm Jimmy Colfax. Welcome to The Story. Well, last time we heard Indigenous Australian Isaac Harrison share his story about how he became a Christian and how he became involved in renewable energy. The time before that, we heard Mike Lane share about how he learned how to play the didgeridoo and was very successful in his group called River Tribe. Today, we're going to find out how they met and we'll find out more about their plans to take a Rolls-Royce and convert it into an electric car. Once again, they're chatting with Eric Scatterbo in our Melbourne studios.
Mike Lane, welcome back to the program.
G'day, Eric. Thanks for having me back.
Glad to have you with us once again, and welcome back to the program, Isaac Harrison.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me back.
Okay, last time we had to cut you off, you had gone through a very rough time trying to get a job. You're only 20 years old and working in factories. Things did not work out, and you had just become a Christian, and you were kind of wondering, hey, God, you know, why are things not working out if I'm putting my faith in you? But then we ended right when you had moved down to Victoria, and you had become involved in a company that, as we'll find out, was pretty successful. So let's continue the story.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I'm living in Melbourne now. I'm doing a bit of youth leadership at the local church. I'm playing didgeridoo for local councils. So I've got a bit.
Now, were you always a musician?
You know, my mother was. I only picked up guitar, bass guitar, when I was probably 18, 19. So, and I've always played the didgeridoo, but with the didgeridoo or the yidiki, it's very hard to get circular breathing. So that took me about 2-3 years till I mastered that. And then from that, I just fell in love with that piece. You know, it is like the shofar for Indigenous people. Mm-hmm. And the frequency of the didgeridoo is very similar to the Earth's rotation, if you were to measure that. And so when people say, you don't actually hear the didgeridoo, feel it. And so people say, I feel that. And once you have the anointing on that and on this great south land, it's just unreal, you know. And so I fall in love with it. And it's very, brings a peace when I play it. So, yeah, I played that and I, you know, was working a few jobs. I got married. My wife and I have a baby on the way. And 2 weeks after my son Enoch is born, I get made redundant at my job. So,
wow, not what you want to hear.
Yeah, we took up a lease at a house, and I was, you know, I was just like, Lord, haven't I gone through this? You know, I've moved to another state away from family, off country, which is very important for Indigenous people, and, you know, called down here because I felt, you know, you're leading. And yeah, that was a real hard time. So I actually was playing paid gigs with like local council and government, and then I got introduced to Mike, who has River Tribe. So, yeah.
Yes. Well, tell us about that, Mike. How did you meet this guy?
Well, we just did at a time of need in terms of Luke, who normally plays with me as a duo, is very caught up in, well, his work. His job was working with young Indigenous people, and also has family in Wollongong. So he was kind of busy getting called away a lot. So I needed someone to help play with me in some of the gigs where Luke wasn't around. Heard about Isaac. There's this guy down in Frankston who plays. He's really good. So just got in touch.
And he's an Indigenous guy. So
yeah, yeah.
It's part of your heritage.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So, and, you know, with River Tribe, we've been going for 20 years or 21 years now. Mm-hmm. It's always been in and around Indigenous people, Indigenous culture.
But none of you have an Indigenous background.
No. I mean, I'm in.
So it'd probably kind of be nice to get somebody in there.
I'm Indigenous initially. To Scotland, but.
Yeah. You did initially, didn't you?
Yeah. We worked with a guy named Stu Fergie. Didgeridoo Stu, he calls himself. Actually, still plays in a band with my brother, a band called Ochre. Very busy touring band, but yeah, so we've had contact on and off with different Indigenous people as we've moved forward. It's become more and more important to us to really respect and involve ourselves in Indigenous culture. So it's been a great relationship with Isaac, just from the point of view of, you know, kind of taking that relationship further. And mm-hmm. I was really excited when he was going to start his own company. He was doing some work for me. I do project management on design projects with domestic housing, with renovations, that kind of thing. So I had Isaac labouring for me when he was out of a job as well. So we formed a bit of a relationship, and he would tell me every day the progress with starting his new company, and I was a bit like, yeah.
He's
heard it all.
How old were you at this point, and you were thinking about starting your own company?
So this would be, probably 6 months before the actual conception of the business starting. And, you know, with it not having work, I was playing didgeridoo for gigs, you know, to buy nappies and formula.
But I don't think everybody, if they're in that situation, be thinking, yeah, I think I'll start my own company.
Well, this is what led to it. You know, I got made redundant. You know, the guy at the end of it, we have a sort of a verbal exchange. You know, he grabs him around the neck. He's a very tall Croatian guy. And he grabs him by the neck, and he says the words, how are you going to buy nappies now? Before, like, that was our parting words. And I said,
he grabbed you around the neck, like, in a menacing way? Or
Like with the hands, but with your, you know, around your thing, and sort of pulled my head down towards, you know, his chin.
So, but in very a mean tall way?
Yeah, in a mean way, because I said to him, like, I don't want to be a part of this company if it does the way it does, you know, because of the unethical practices. And so he said those words, and I said, I'll play the didge, you know, like sort of a smart aleck response. But I got in my car and cried pretty much on the drive home to tell my wife that I'd just been made redundant.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
And so, and saying at the same sentence, God, where are you? What's going on?
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're about to actually move to Queensland, and because there was nothing here. There's no doors opening. And
in Victoria.
There was doors still open in Queensland, and go back, sit on, you know, 100,000 work, you know, in the sunny coast and live the life. And something inside me, and my wife's from Melbourne, she's from Geelong, her family, felt like it wasn't time to go back, and I didn't know why. And so we just held down. I got a call from an Indigenous man of God from the city, works in the city. He told me about opportunities for Indigenous businesses to work with the government. So there was opportunity there. I was like, oh, I don't know. My mum had a dream, actually, a vision, and she had a dream. She had two, but one was that we would walk, me, Amy, Enoch. Amy, my wife, was holding Enoch, and we'd walk to this big, you know, Lord of the Rings has that gate, and it's got the inscription on it, you know, where the water is. I forget what scene that is, but the door looked like that, and it was black, and it was engraved, and my wife researched the meaning of black in Hebrew and stuff like that. You know, obviously means like different things like death and that, but it can also mean double portion. I don't forget how she got that. But anyway, it was engraved, and Jesus met us at the door, and he looked at us, and he didn't say anything, and he just nodded and walked in as if to say, follow me. And we had to decide to follow him to this dark, unknown door with engravings that were not familiar. And so we got that, and then the opportunity to work with government, which I sussed out. I went to Sydney to a big government procurement trade show. So there was still a lot there. And then I began, obviously it was with Mike, so I was sharing with Mike what I was going to do.
So you have a Christian friend?
Yeah, a Christian friend. You know, and Mike was shared things were going on with his life and family and finding where he was. I certainly was like, what am I doing here? Where am I going? And that for me was the only reason I was still here, because I felt God was calling me to do this. And I pitched, you know, four investors. And, you know, Mike will know some of them, because they would say things to me, and then I would say it to Mike, and Mike's like, oh, it doesn't make any sense. And, you know, while painting roofs. So, yeah, like Mike will share that. And eventually the investor I chose said the words, I feel there's a shift with Aboriginal people, and I want to be a part of it. And that was God saying, this is the man that you will journey with. And that's my business partner till today. But, yeah, from Mike's side of the fence, I would have looked a bit, coming back with different things at times and not knowing where to go and just trusting in the Lord. So.
Yes. It was a case of these sort of daily updates from Isaac. Oh, I spoke to this guy and that guy, and lots of what I thought, I guess, maybe pie in the sky figures.
Yeah, I was going to say
projections.
Did
about
you think
things.
This guy was serious?
I knew he was serious. And
did you think he'd be successful?
I didn't know. Hmm. You know, I just thought, I just knew he was ambitious, and encouraged him to have a go and keep moving forward in it. And it was just exciting to see it develop. You know, his future wasn't in wielding a shovel on a building site. I could see, and
even
that's what
he was doing that kind of stuff for you.
Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, it was a great stopgap for him. But I said to him, this isn't your place here. You know, I said to him, I know you've got this entrepreneurial spirit. It's just written all over you. Mm-hmm. And you're definitely going places. And I just felt that in my spirit, and I just encouraged Isaac with that numerous times.
And Isaac, you had kind of learned the energy business from working in it.
Yeah. So I come from off-grid renewable technology, so that's not connected to a grid, you know, like power lines. So it really is dwellings, you know, opal hunters, boar hunters, game hunters, fishing boats, people that need their own closed power supply, and that can come from solar generating in the day to storing it to batteries, use the freezer at night. One thing I loved about that industry is there's direct accountability, so if you inadequately design a system and it doesn't work, then you get a call from an angry customer.
Yeah.
So I went from that to then in Melbourne to residential, to commercial, into, you know, lighting, into larger scale power generation, into borderline project development sort of stuff. And so I had that all that experience, and my business partner has another couple of years experience, and he's from one man in a van. He used to install it himself, working for big companies, scaled it up to he's got, you know, 20 staff in his office, and that's what partnered with Boonjil.
So that's how you became the founder and director of Boonjil Energy.
That's true.
You're listening to The Story. Our guest today is once again Isaac Harrison. He's an Indigenous Australian, a didgeridoo player, and as we just heard, he's the founder and director of his own renewable energy company. He's joined once again by his good friend and fellow didgeridoo player, Mike Lane, from the musical group River Tribe. We'll find out more about how the Lord has been working in their lives and more about their special project of converting a Rolls-Royce into an electric car. All that and more when we return.
If this program has highlighted something you'd like prayer for, we'd love to pray for you. Call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. It's a free call. Or text 0401 132 888.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Colfax, and this is The Story. Today we're joined once again by two didgeridoo players, Isaac Harrison and Mike Lane. As we heard before the break, besides playing the didgeridoo, Isaac is the founder of his own renewable energy company, and Mike is from the musical group River Tribe. Now, we're going to find out more about Isaac's power company and also about his heart for helping his fellow Indigenous Australians.
You know, we're massive on being involved in supplying power solutions to Indigenous communities. And a lot of these Indigenous communities, you know, it's like even though they speak English, it's a different language, it's different culture. And so our company, Boonjil, now acts as a consultant to Indigenous communities or landowners, also to other Indigenous businesses that we're helping, because we have been, you know, very successful. My staff, you know, is the biggest blessing I have. You know, those guys, I labor with them. Mm-hmm. You know, I serve them.
So your heart, if I'm understanding you correctly, is to be not just an energy company, but a blessing back to your community, the Indigenous community.
Yep, that's right. Yeah, we want to show other Indigenous corporations how to create business plans, how to execute them, how to set up sustainable streams of income. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, we want to
provide employment.
That's right. Yeah, provide employment. And we want to empower community to own their own power generation that provides it for the likes of everyone. And it's a local, you know, trading and selling and buying. And that's my heart. And I see that as how we're going to include Indigenous people back into the economy, which is on their land. And that will address those poor statistics around suicide, sexual abuse and that, because Indigenous people have been taken away from their land and their culture, essentially. Mm-hmm. And it's about bringing them through an employment instead of a handout mentality. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of great missionaries and people that go up to these communities, you know, preach the gospel, share that, the people get born again, but then what do they do? Mm. There's no jobs. You know, that's what we're about, and that's what leads into the Rolls-Royce project.
Yeah, yeah, let's get back to this Rolls-Royce.
Yeah, so Rolls-Royce
I almost
Shadow?
Didn't get Mike. To interview Mike because he thought he might be picking up a Rolls-Royce. So that kind of got my attention. So that kind of was what started this whole conversation, and that's how I got to know about you and your friendship with Mike. And what was the idea behind that?
Yeah, sure. Look, so as people convert to electric vehicles, what we don't understand is that everyone will come home from work and they'll plug in to charge and you're going to be draining power from the grid all at the same time. So you imagine when we had you know, a straight A weekend and everyone turns their air cons on and then all of a sudden there's no power. You can imagine that's going to happen now where people are getting electric vehicles, but there's no infrastructure. So we saw this project as multi-layered because we can address, well, you convert your car to electric or you get an electric car, but how do you charge that? And now that's going to have a cost. And then when do you charge that? Because everyone else is trying to charge that. So if everyone else is trying to charge the vehicle, power companies know, well, we'll make that the peak, you know, put the prices up and voila. So it's about a whole systematic approach where the person's got their own power supply from their roof or from a little wind turbine, biogas, all that sort of stuff. Then they're able to charge that vehicle through a renewable source, and then they're not paying for that fuel. So essentially, you've got free fuel.
Wow.
And so
that's kind of nice, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's super exciting. And the funny thing is,
it'd be kind of nice to have free petrol, but this is just as good.
Yeah. And the ingredients were always there. God provided the ingredients. Yeah. They were always there.
Wind, humans, and sun, and all that.
Wind, sun, tides, gas, oil. And we just think as humans that we know the best way. And then we go, look, I know the best way, and I'm going to charge you a fee for using that service. And I think, you know, it says, you know, he sits up there and he laughs. Because you'd be like, these guys are doing things the wrong way. And so, yeah, that's how me and Mike got back in contact. You know, we're obviously always talking, playing the didgeridoo and update with what's going on. So
you guys are still playing the didgeridoo together?
Yeah, we did Melbourne Music Week recently.
Yeah, that was fun.
So this is kind of like a side thing, why you kind of got your daytime jobs, this energy thing.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's, you know, as Indigenous, it's super important to get back in touch with culture. Mm-hmm. And that's a great way to do that.
But getting back to the Rolls-Royce, so the whole idea is to have an attention-getting car? Is that kind of the idea?
Well, yeah, the concept I went to Isaac with was...
You got my attention.
Yeah. Look, why don't we buy a Rolls-Royce and convert it? Because this thing has a 6.8-litre V8 motor in it. It's probably the most conspicuous consumption, luxury symbol of white Australia, if you like.
Mm. Yeah, when I hear Rolls-Royce, I culture. Think of luxury of
plantation cars.
It's an icon of wealth.
Yeah,
and
that's what I think.
Success,
that's why,
you know.
Mike, you're going to pick up a Rolls-Royce? What are you talking about?
Yeah, so I just felt, let's pick the most significant iconic vehicle that we can find and pull the power plant out of it, the massive V8 engine out of it, and put an electric motor in it. And
I'm just trying to get my head around. You guys are usually like playing a didgeridoo, but you're also thinking about Rolls Royces and electric cars while you're playing.
It was a classic, like the opportunity sort of came and you're sort of like, oh, I don't know. That's not really, you know, will it make money? You know, will it be a cost? All these questions. But instinctively, we're like, why not? You know, and the rest of it's unraveled, hasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, I got to thinking about the whole concept that this is a great idea, but here's Indigenous people doing it as well.
Mm, yep.
And this is where I got really excited and told Isaac about it. But I also told David Bromley about it, who's an iconic kind of rock star painter in Australian culture. Mm. And I had a little bit of contact with him in the past. So I wrote him an email and just said, this is what we're thinking about doing. And I knew David had probably about half a dozen Rolls Royces.
As you do, if you're an iconic artist.
He collects all these old cars. You know, he's got old Lamborghini and all these old vehicles sitting around in his yard, and they were doing a project painting them up. And I said, what are you doing with these cars when you finish this art project? Would you give us one? And
that's bold. Would you give us a Rolls Royce, please?
Good things come to those who ask, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But he got very excited. He rang me straight away and just said, I'm in. This is exciting. I want to contribute back to Indigenous culture. I've benefited greatly. He's a migrant from Sheffield, England himself when he was a kid, and has done very well. And he's surrounded by people who've done very well as in business and culture and arts in Australia. And he said, this is a great way for me and my friends to give back to Indigenous culture and just be involved with something exciting. So he said, yep, come and pick one out. So Isaac went up to Dalsa to his studio and picked a car out, and we've since picked it up.
So you had your choice of which
one. We had a choice, but we're also mindful. So our partners in this, SA Electric, Tony, you know, they did a conversion before, and they only did it as like a favor to a lady, and they're like not interested in doing it, but the response they had from social media and on the marketing front was incredible. And so we offered it to him again. He's like, yeah, let's do it again. So there were so many things that just lined up. And, you know, it's like you never know about being in the right place, the right time, with the right resources. And there's times in life where I've felt I've missed out. But it's really like God's leading of saying it's not the right time, it's not the right season. And then he brings you back around if you're patient and you're in it for the, you know, the years, not in the weeks and the months and the highs and the lows, but you're in it for the long run, you know, the long walk with Jesus. Like, he just comes back around to these little moments of just pure joy and celebration, and you look back and go, what's happening? How did this happen? So
wow, what an incredible story. Starting off with Mike, you know, out of the blue, having kind of a midlife crisis, and then feeling God led you to learn how to play the didgeridoo, and then eventually meeting Isaac over here, and then you guys are working on other projects besides music, and starting off with this special power company, and of course, the Rolls-Royce car is in there somewhere as well. Unfortunately, we have to wrap up because we're running out of time, but just kind of looking back over this whole journey that you've been on, what are you passionate about now going forward?
Well, just working hard on getting the Rolls-Royce project running.
I want to see that when you're done, of course.
We will. So that's busy strong. Building websites and
that's part of the agreement up. Here. I get a ride in that car.
Yeah. Well, it's great. I've had the car at my home, and it's just exciting putting some of the interior back together and remedying small problems with the vehicle. And
yeah,
it's good fun. Had contact with the Rolls-Royce Club, who I can say probably aren't particularly pleased about the fact that we're going to pull the engine out of the car. But
hopefully we can donate it to them. Yeah.
Hopefully we can get them on board as we move forward.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm excited about right now.
Isaac?
Yeah, for me, it's coming through on what we've said that we'll do and enjoying it, I suppose. Yeah, enjoying it.
Now you are the founder and director of your own power company.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I've got, you know, co-founder. I've got my business partner, Jared. And, you know, our goal is to be the first Indigenous company ASX listed, you know. And so, you know, we've got our four-year mark that we want to, you know, evaluate where we've come from and how much impact we've had on Indigenous business and communities. And what lies for me after that, I don't know, you know. I don't know. Maybe it's missionary work. Maybe it's another company, maybe it's on the board, maybe it's government. But, you know, God hasn't revealed that to me so far, so I do the best with what I can see in front of me and keep enjoying it. So.
And let's go back to that vision you had of, what was it, kind of gates, and you see Jesus?
Yeah.
Do you think you kind of have a better grasp on what that was all about now, looking back?
Yeah, look, I think it's all my fears and all, you know, when you start a business, there's so many fears, like, you know, there's cash flows, insurances, there's starting, there's loans, there's where you're going to get a rental, you know, there's first customers, it's then delivering for that first customer. And so unknown, but, you know, there's such a, it's following Jesus is so exciting, you know, it's not boring, it's not the same old, you know, he loves putting us out of our comfort zone, you know.
You've gone through the valleys sometimes.
He loves saying, "Hey, I'm gonna walk across this water, are you coming?" And you're like, excuse me. So, and I just want to be like those disciples, you know. I want to have a crack, you know. And I think that's the most important thing, is having a crack. And, you know, and there's grace there to catch you if you fall short. So if now those things are clearing up, but there's a lot of things I think he intentionally doesn't show me, because me and Mike we do get carried away and very addictive personalities.
Well, so you have a lot some of things, fun.
Have some fun. So I think, you know, the Lord in his wisdom likes to keep a few of those things just a bit in the smoke a little, and as we get closer, he starts to reveal.
It's a long journey, but you have a electrical Rolls Royce to help get you there.
That's right. It's free free fuel. Come limited time only. No, I'm just joking.
Thank you so much for sharing your story with us today.
That was the conclusion of Eric Scatterbo's conversation with Isaac Harrison and Mike Lane. Isaac is the founder and director of his own renewable energy company called Boonjil Energy. And Mike is from the musical group called River Tribe. For more information about Boonjil Energy, their website is boonjilenergy.com.au. That's boonjilenergy.com.au. Well, it's been great to hear how these two friends met, how they encourage each other, and how they enjoy doing things together like playing music and converting Rolls Royces into electric cars. Sounds like the basis for a wonderful friendship. But seriously, and most importantly, it's great to hear how their friendship is based on their common faith in the Lord. As the Bible says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity." Well, thanks for joining us for Isaac and Mike sharing their story. I'm Jimmy Colfax, encouraging you to share your story with someone today.
Next time on The Story.
Byron had been unwell for a little while, and so had been through a series of checkups and that sort of thing. And the specialist diagnosed Byron within minutes, really, and said, "You've got a cancer that is growing in your throat." And from there, we found out that it was stage 4, inoperable. And so the journey began.
Pastors Byron and Anne Graham have gone through their share of health challenges in life. As a matter of fact, they got the bad news that Anne's mother was diagnosed with cancer at the same time Byron was in the hospital being treated for cancer. We'll hear their story next time.
The Story. The Story. Just another way Vision is connecting faith to life. This program is a production of Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, see vision.org.au.